Let's bring our consciousness into the room. Taking three deep breaths. And sounding Om together. Today we continue looking at the true self from the Bhagavad Gita, the song of the Lord, the true self. It occurred to me during the sermon today, Russ mentioned our inner guidance. Remember that? Our inner guidance. Isn't that another word for our true self, the true self, our inner guidance? So we can keep that in mind. We're going to start off today with three slokas from the Bhagavad Gita. The first two are going to recommend what we do, and the third will recommend what we not do. And then we'll talk a lot about what it's recommended we don't do. So if you have some difficulty with what we ought to do, maybe it'll be simpler to grapple with what we shouldn't do. Here we go. Mm-hmm. This is from chapter 5, sloka 20. When you become established in the absolute, that inner guidance, true self. When you become established in the absolute, your understanding is without doubt. And when we're established in our intellect, we have doubts. When we are established, what a great word, established, grounded, centered, coming from our inner guidance, which is the absolute, your understanding is without doubt, your true understanding. Your mental understanding may think of doubts, but never mind. True understanding is without doubt. Those who have realized Brahman, or God, are not excited by pleasures, nor do they suffer from pain. Doesn't say you don't have pleasures, it's just you're not excited by pleasures. And that's going to be sloka number 3 we're going to talk about, the challenge of pleasures. So here's a premonition here. Those who have realized that inner guidance are not excited by pleasures, nor do they suffer from pain. Have pain, but it's not suffering. Next sloka, if you let go attachment to external things, you will delight in the bliss of Atman, or the true self guidance. If you let go attachment to external things, light pleasure, you let go. Persistent meditation on Brahman, or the infinite, brings a state of uninterrupted joy. So we might wonder, how do we let go of attachment to external things so that we can delight in the bliss of our true self? And here is the recommendation, persistent meditation on our inner guidance, our true self, Brahman, the infinite, brings a state of uninterrupted joy. That's the recommendation.
Yes, there's a lot of difference between pleasure and joy.
And that brings us to the next sloka.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Difference between pleasure and joy. All right, this is what we ought to do. Now, 22. Pleasures that come from sense contacts, Arjuna, the This is Lord Krishna talking to his renunciate, Arjuna. Actually, are the womb of pain. No, we don't think about it like that, do we? Pleasures that come from sense objects are actually the womb of pain, or at least attachment to them. A wise person does not delight in pleasure that comes and goes. Might have pleasures, does not delight in pleasure that come from the sense context that comes and goes. We're going to talk about that for a while now. Pleasures. And I chose this particular set of teachings today because a member of my family just received a gift. And they got so excited by that gift. Were so full of delight and pleasure. It caused me to have a concern. Although it's not my job to fix anybody, particularly my family, I just noticed a great sense of pleasure from the sense object that showed up in this person's life. All the excitement and so on. So here's the sloka. Pleasures that come from sense contacts actually are the womb of pain. A wise person does not delight in pleasure that comes and goes. We have them, just don't delight in them. Like when you go get that new car, oh my God, it's such a delight. It's so nice, it smells good, drives great. People look at you on the street and go, hey, great car. Do you have a comment, Susan?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking everything is nuances. Because you can, the thing that you're talking about, excess pleasure, can be, is very, very close to gratitude. And how helpful gratitude is for anything and everything.
I think gratitude is a little different than pleasure, but perhaps if you sense pleasures as gratitude, that puts a different light on them.
Yeah.
But pleasures in and of themselves, according to sloka, are the womb of pain. Womb of pain. And let's look at that interpretation as we look at what Satchitananda has to say about pleasures. Here we go. A wise person will never expect joy from the outside world or by contact with outside objects. And this is what you brought up, the difference between joy and pleasure. So here's the teaching. A wise person will never expect joy from the outside world or contact with outside objects. And the truth is, joy can never come from outside. Never come from outside. That's the truth. Never come from sense things which are pleasurable. Happiness can never come from outside. Excitement can, delight can, but not happiness. Even if it seems to be coming from outside, it's only a reflection of your own inner happiness. So that's the distinction. Happiness never really comes from the outside. It's only a reflection of the happiness that you felt before that sense object came along.
It
might seem to be coming from the outside, but it's a reflection of yourself. And we've seen this in people. We've seen people who are just happy and they see something nice and they're just even happier. And we've seen people who are miserable, and nice things come in their life, and well, they don't get any less miserable. So the happiness is what you wake up with in the morning. Happiness can never come from the outside. It's only a reflection of your own inner happiness. When we depend on the pleasures that seem to come from outside, each has its pain behind it. So we'll look into some of the characteristics of pain and pleasure now. Such pleasure begins with pain and later ends with pain. How's that? Pleasures begin and end with pain. Even as you begin seeking the pleasure, you are in sort of a pain, thirsting for it. Oh my God, did I see that in this situation in my family. There was this gift coming along, and there was some uncertainty whether it was going to come along, and there was a lot of anxiety and pain as to if and when or would this gift come along and give pleasure. Some pain. But oh my goodness. Soon after you get it, you feel the pain or anxiety to protect it, or fear of losing it. What if someone steals it? Gotta protect it. One way of looking at things, just to jump ahead a little bit, is in your understanding of things, to understand that of all things, nothing belongs to you. Nothing belongs to you, not your car, not your body. It doesn't belong to you. One way to think of it is, it belongs to God. Thank you, God, for this nice car. Thank you for entrusting me to be the caretaker of it while I'm able to care for it. And if I take good care of it, feed it some gas, change the oil, make sure the tires are sound and the brakes are sound, taking care of your car, God, I'm anticipating it will give me good service, take me where I need to go, and bring me home safely. Thank you, God, for letting me use your car. I promise to take good care of it. Thank you, God, for this body. Just as it is today. Thank you for the body as it used to be when I remembered. It was a little different. A little thinner, a little taller, a little less wrinkled. Thank you for my body that's to come, and thank you for my body today. It's not my body. It's God's body. I'm just here to take care of it. And feed it regularly, give it exercise, make sure it gets enough sleep so that my body is available for me to be of service to others. Thank you for my body, God. Our thoughts can change our consciousness. Thank you for my body, God's body. It's not mine, it's God's. We can see a lot of other bodies out there in the world. All sorts of bodies, animal bodies, vegetable tree bodies, and see, they all belong to God. It's not my tree, it's God's tree. All those people out there, God brought them forth. It's a step in consciousness to see that this is also what I used to call my body, is God's body. Now, when we're talking with our friends and neighbors and family, and they say, how are you? We're not going to say, well, God's body's doing okay today.
God's toe hurts.
Actually, God's body has some aches and pains. God's back is hurting and trying to take good care of it. But we can hold it that way internally. It's not mine. It belongs to God.
It gives you more responsibility, doesn't it?
Or as the New Day song used to say, everything is holy now. Everything is holy. Remember that? Everything,
yes.
Even our bodies. Why? Because the holy things belong to God. So here we go with pleasure. You seek the pleasure and you're thirsting for it. You forgot it's just God's. But you want it. And after you get it, you feel the pain or anxiety of losing it. not recognizing. It's just knowledge. Sometimes it's here next to you, sometimes it's somewhere else. Sometimes it looks one way, if it gets damaged, it looks a different way. It still belongs to God. But no, we feel the pain or anxiety, fear of losing it. So we lock up our jewelry, put locks on our doors, so people won't take our things, and they won't harm our body. Way of holding things. Satchitananda says, then who is wise? Who is wise? The one who will never ever look for happiness from outside things. That doesn't mean running away from pleasures. Instead, simply understand, I can't be happy by having this, by acquiring that, or by achieving something. Achieving something. And have you ever set goals? Goals in life? Something you want to be? Something you want to have? A place you want to go? Lately, the popular thing is the bucket list. All the things you want to go, places you want to go before you die, the things you want to get before you die. Something you want to be before you die, it's the bucket list. So that at the moment of death you can say, oh, I got my bucket list and now I'm happy. Here the scripture's coming to say, you may be disappointed because those things you get or have or are not the source of happiness. Your happiness comes from your inner guidance, your true self. The divine that lives within you, if you let it. And all the things that happen, the things on your bucket list, where you go, the vacations you take, the things you get, we can look at it in another way. That's just nature. Nature that guides me to do this, exchange some energy, which I call money, here to there, and something belonged to God was over here, and now it's in my house, still belongs to God. All these have nothing to do with our happiness. So happiness is how we experience whatever shows up in our life, whatever our inner guidance directs us to do, to have, and to be. So pleasures can be a challenge. Let's go on. The world has yet to see anyone who could say, I'm happy because I got everything I wanted. Got everything I wanted. Never. So let's think of some people who got a lot of stuff that we don't have. A lot of things they wanted. Think of public figures who've got a lot of things they wanted, maybe a lot of money, or a lot of property, or a lot of prestige, or a lot of positions, whatever. Got everything they wanted. Maybe we think they're happy. Scripture says, maybe not. Maybe not. The world is yet to see anyone who could say, I'm happy because I got everything I wanted. Never. One want only begets 10 wants. And we see that from people who seem to have a lot. They want more.
It's like a child on Christmas morning. I mean, sometimes you get everything you want and just happy, happy, happy for that moment.
And then you look around and see, I want to open that one too. Oh, that one's not yours. That's, oh no, I want to open it. I have a grandson who is mentally impaired. He lives in a home. He has a nice life. He's happy. Anyway, when we used to get together for Christmas at my ex-wife's house, he'd come over and he'd have his presents. He'd hand him his presents. He'd open his presents, tear it all apart. He really enjoyed doing that. And then you get the thing, set it aside, get the espresso milk, tear it apart. You look at it, set it aside, get it in a pile. And then he went for the other presents. He said, no, 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 those are yours. And, oh, he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. One want begets 10 wants. So we start to see the relationship between wants and pleasure, and true happiness or inner joy. True, you may want things just for the fun of wanting. So here's another way of holding it. Just for the fun of it. We all have our wants, but how do we hold the wants? Are we compulsive about it? We've got to have it? Are we going to be miserable if we don't get it? What if somebody else gets it? Can we look at it in a more light-hearted manner? So here's a way of holding it that can help us with our natural tendencies and the world as we experience it. You may want things just for the fun of wanting, but not for the happiness. See the distinction? This is fun. It's not having to do with my happiness. I brought happiness to the game beforehand, but it would be fun to have it. And if you don't get what you want, that should be fun too. Now here we go. Here's the toss. Hey, I wanted it. I didn't get it. This is pretty fun. See the happiness there? Mm-hmm. Wake up happy. Experience the wanting. May get it, may not, but it's all fun. Hey, I wanted it. I didn't get it. This is great fun. To be alive, be happy. Get the distinction?
Yeah.
Clear? Yeah. It's another way of holding things. Even the wanting, enjoy not getting and enjoy losing it also. So, enjoy the wanting, enjoy not getting, and enjoy losing it also. Can we do that? Here we go. Hey, I got it. Whatever. I got it. See, look at that. I lost it now. Oh, I lost it. Isn't life wonderful? I'm not affected by things. I have some things, I don't have some things. Actually, I don't really have anything. There are God's things which surround me, and I'm a caretaker for some of the things which are around me that belong to God, including my body. Isn't it fun? I come with happiness, things come and go. It's like I'm an observer. What am I doing? I'm doing what my inner guidance directs me to do. I'm noticing my mind that approves this and doesn't approve that, is happy with this, happy with that. I'm centered in my inner guidance, my true self. And being there, I'm always happy and full of joy, no matter what things I'm caretaking now or not. They all belong to God. Just a way of holding things. Don't lose your happiness while wanting, getting, or losing something. When the thief breaks in and takes some of your stuff, do you lose your happiness? Well, surely you're upset. No one likes to be broken in. Have their safe space intruded upon, we all value our safety. But as far as the things go, if they're not missing, have we lost our happiness? Is our happiness so much affected by what the thief took that we make a story out of it and we tell others the story of how we lost our happiness when the thief took these things from our house? And are we so committed to this way of holding life that we embed that story in our hearts? And for years afterwards, we'll say, oh, that reminds me when the thief broke in and took this thing and I lost my happiness. We can make these ways of holding things. It's part of how we choose our consciousness to be, which is what Reb Russ talked about in this. So don't lose your happiness while wanting, getting, or losing something. He says, can we treat life like playing chess or cards? Don't lose your joy if you lose the game. It's all just fun. Like the players in football or baseball or soccer, they play hard, they do their best. They may win, they may not, and there's a lot of chance involved, isn't there? The umpire makes a wrong call. Well, in the end, can you say, wow, I did my best, it was a great game, and go to the opposing team and say, thanks, I enjoyed playing you. Congratulations, you won. Well, we won. It's all the same. In a way, nobody won, God won. God, well, God is always winning. We're just doing what's ours to do.
After my granddaughter's soccer game yesterday, they all go through lines and say, good game, and everything else. Just to make it seem like it really was nothing, they came back again and they went, take a shower, take a shower, take a shower. So what are they saying? My daughter says, say, take a shower. It's like, that's all it meant was go take a shower, you had fun, and you sweated.
Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
Don't sweat it.
Good description.
So the kids can teach us, can't they? The children teach us.
But still, though, when you're playing games with them, it's hard to teach that, you know, if they lose a game, you know, because there's a point where you lose to them for a bit so they can win it, but after a while, no, you know, and, oh, you know. That's hard for them to lose. That losing a game is not a big deal.
Jan, you make a great point about soccer games, and when we talk about children, what a gift that they are for us to see how we, you know, tend to look at it quantitatively.
Yeah.
Pee Wee soccer, they don't keep school,
no.
And they have so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that reminds me of.
Right.
And also, I believe children need to be allowed to experience things,
yes.
The loss and so on, and to find, have their own experiences to guide them in life, rather than have us fix everything for them. We all had those experiences when we were young, right? And didn't get something, we were disappointed.
I don't know, do they still teach sportsmanship to kids? They try to tell you to be a good loser?
I think so.
Well, yeah.
I think so.
They do.
I think that's what Little League is supposed to do, isn't it?
Fair play and may the best man win. May the best man win.
And to, you know, find true selfless joy out of it.
Right. Here we go. We're going to close in about 5 to 11. With this understanding, life becomes fun rather than what? A grudge, or life for some people is heavy, isn't it? Very heavy. Very heavy. With this understanding, life becomes fun. Whoever has this understanding is wise. The scriptures advise how to acquire wisdom. Here's one way to treat life. It's not your life, God's life. That's the point. That's fun. Otherwise, we're making a big mistake trying to get happiness from outside. For a person of discrimination, everything is painful, said Patanjali, a famous Hindu sage. He means outside pleasures ultimately are followed by pain. We saw that. In and of themselves, they are painful, the pleasures. Only when our approach is wrong do they become painful and tell us, hey, don't look at me for your happiness. Just have me the fun of the game. But don't ever expect to be happy by using your own ego or your intelligence. Now here's a different twist, isn't it? Don't ever expect to be happy by using your own ego or your intelligence. Your intelligence is just a gift from God. And let your inner guidance guide you as to how you use your intelligence. But if you expect if you're the sort of scientist, not like Einstein, by the way, but if you're the sort of scientist who expects your intelligence is going to make you happy, you're in for a disappointment. Having intelligence doesn't make you happy. Einstein knew this. He was a very spiritual man. He realized that his satisfaction came from another place, and he had the gift of being able to uncover all of the secrets of the universe. By the way, he wasn't very good at math. Did you know that? He was a great physicist, but he wasn't very good at math. And in the story of Einstein's life we saw the other night, his greatest struggles were to take the things he saw as being true from his thought experiments and find the mathematical equations to represent it. And he got a friend, a mathematician, Grossman, I think was his name, to help him come up with the mathematics.
His wife did too, right? Wasn't she just
He had a physicist wife too. They had that whole series on Einstein. It was very
interesting.
What did you watch, Steve? Because I'm fascinated by the man.
About Einstein?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was just a series about his life. It was a 2-hour or 1-hour show on PBS.
Oh,
it was very interesting. They talked about the thought experiment, for example, where he realized what gravity was. What's gravity? We know it's keeping us from jumping off the floor. And he realized that our experience of gravity in the thought experiment is the same as the experience of acceleration. You know, when you go on the centrifuge, how the acceleration is a force that pulls you against the wall. He realized those are the same. That acceleration and gravity are the same. That was a great insight he had. And he developed the math too. And he called that the general theory of relativity. Side note.
Thank you.
So it's not intelligence that brought his happiness. Happiness came from somewhere else.
I read an article the other day about depression and middle, and, you know, young children, saying now with social media, they get to be in middle school and they say something online that they think is very wise and thought and everything, and immediately they're hit with all this negativity about it, and it says it's really hard.
Other spiritual lessons that brings to mind, and that is, if we act according to our inner guidance, doing what is ours to do, if we expect results, certain results from that, like, you're really wise, we're going to be in for disappointment. And it's a tough lesson for kids to learn that we ought to do what's ours to do, on social media, but if we expect certain results, we're probably in for disappointment. It's a really tough lesson to learn. I don't think I've quite learned it yet.
Yeah, it's an ongoing evolution of learning, right?
Yeah, you're human, that's pretty
true. It's our culture that we're all raised in, our families of origin.
That's how we teach children, it rewards.
That's how I, I'm trying to undo all that. It's not easy. It's an ongoing journey.
So here we go, we'll do one more slide and then we'll close. If you think I'm very intelligent, I can be happy always, you may be disappointed. Sometimes your own intelligence brings both pleasure and pain. I have a few more slides, but it's about 2:50 and we can choose to close now if that's something you'd like to do. Any final shares?
I'm just enjoying the self-awareness that this brings about. Thank you, Steve.
Any other questions or shares?
I'm just thinking that, you know, we can always choose. Like you were talking about being happy, waking up, that's the way you wake up in the morning, happy.
That's
right. I don't wake up in the morning happy. But I've trained myself to notice that I'm not particularly happy and choose otherwise. And I guess that's inner guidance rather than intelligence. I don't know.
I use a little spiritual technique, which I'll share and then we'll close, because sometimes I'm not happy in the morning either. I'm just not happy. So here's what I've used, and it's such a long-term pattern, I don't even think about it, I do it in my walks. I repeat the following from Thich Nhat Hanh. Ready? We can all do it together, why not? It's kind of fun. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Let's see that smile. See the smile. What happens when you smile? You're happy. The next part is dwelling in the present moment with that smile. Dwelling in the present moment. I know it's a wonderful moment. Thank you, darling. Something wonderful happens when you smile. A part of you separates from the unhappiness and says, oh, for God's sake, you know, get alive. Just that smile. If you just smile. So when I do that without thinking, I have to smile because I say smile. And any other comments or questions? We need questions.
That's a very good one.
Well, on days when I don't have to get out of bed right away, if I'm working from home or so, I pull my puppy up next to me in a rubber belly. Now, you cannot be happy. I mean, not unhappy if you're rubbing a puppy's belly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're loving it.
Yeah. So let's do our closing consciousness where we focus on our breath for three deep breaths. The deep in breath.
Thank you,
Steve. Breathing out, I smile.